German-speaking world, so I would like to have it in English. Yeah, and bear with me. I had a long, intensive week at work right after me, so I'm a little bit, a little bit sleepy, I would say. So, but anyway, the next 30 minutes, I would like to spend on roughly giving you my perspective as I work in the area of decentralized social networks, decentralized online social media, or however you want to call it, so Facebook and Twitter-like systems. So I'm in this I'm kind of in this scene, in this working in this community since roughly 1 year or so, and I was fortunate enough to get a ticket to the first conference on the main protocol that is being used in decentralized online social media. The first protocol is called ActivityPub. I will talk about it later. And it's now what we mostly consider the core of what the Fediverse is. So I don't know. Just as a definition, I would say the Fediverse. There's no clear definition of what it is, but I think the rough consensus is that any network that doesn't have a centralized structure, which leads to a centralized mode of moderating what happens in these online systems. So any system that has not a centralized component for moderation can be called part of the Fediverse, which means it's not really dependent on the actual technical protocol that they use, but more on the architecture. So the term appeared over the like maybe 3 years ago. Like it's a really young cultural phenomenon that pops up, and now, as I said, there is a core protocol which kind of makes up maybe 80 to 90% of the communication in all of Fediverse, and it's called ActivityPub. And yeah, I wanna share my experiences in the field. And I was at this conference, which I will talk later about. Background to me: I'm originally not a web developer or computer science person. I come from the radio frequency domain, so like mobile radio networks and Wi-Fi and stuff like that. And in that, I was and I'm still active at the local wireless mesh network that we have here, like a community-operated internet service provider. And I'm interested in this, and I'm interested in the work that I do now, mainly because I'm convinced that an open society can only thrive when it has access to open communication. And back in the years when I started doing these wireless things, I was convinced that the access layer needs to be as open and as inclusive as possible. But it kept bugging me that when we were establishing Wi-Fi, like open access, open internet access to people, they still gravitate towards using totally non-open systems like centralized platforms like Facebook on top of these wireless access. So to me it kind of was inevitable to move up and also think about the structural architecture of systems at the platform, at the internet layer, that was a long introduction. What I wanted to say is that I think mostly I think about what is the picture in our heads when we think about the future of how our online political discourse and debate looks like. I mean, currently most people I meet and talk to, they say something, private cooperation will be regulated and then maybe offer safer ways to have an online political discourse, because currently it's very unsafe out there. There's a lot of amplification of false information, a lot of amplification of violent communication. And I want to invite you to a short thought experiment. How do you think will it look like in 10 years from now? We have seen that the global attention moves to these platforms. They generate their problems. What is the picture that we have in our head, like how we will do this in 10 years from now? And I think what we all end up asking ourselves when we think about this is, how is it going to be funded? What's the business model underneath it? So we have now this wonderful book from Shoshana Zuboff, which explains what the funding model that has been currently used by dominating platforms, what kind of societal consequences that has. And a short summary would be that if it's driven by this advertisement logic, it amplifies all the things we don't really want to have amplified in an open society. It polarizes and it destroys common infrastructure, like all kinds of institutions that we have built. So, luckily, I'm not here to talk about the current situation. I'm here to talk about what I now really seriously assume will be part of the future, and it's the Fediverse. This is a list that you probably, sorry for the font size, but it just lists the number of projects that are currently added to this thing that we call the Fediverse. And on top of it, there is the name Mastodon. Mastodon is probably familiar to some of you already. It is born out of the dissatisfaction with Twitter moderation and Twitter non-innovation. So it was born out of the idea to have a more future-oriented platform for social microblogging. So it tries to mimic Twitter, but underneath the hood, it's a network of servers that are federated. That's why we consider it part of the Fediverse. And right now, looking at statistics, it's the biggest part of the Fediverse. There are other services that try to mimic other centralized things, but I want to focus on Mastodon here. So what's good about Mastodon especially is that when you interact with it, so if you in some way familiar with the Twitter user interface, you immediately can make use of Mastodon. Of course, it's a young network, so not too many accounts are there, so you cannot reach as many people as you can via Twitter, of course. But funny thing happened a couple of days ago, the first US presidential candidate, so this seems to be his actual, real, non-fake representation on the Fediverse. That's something new. What also pops up over the last months especially is also because of the Mastodon network gains in popularity and will follow Twitter in its popularity, there's also a lot of spam going on. So since there is no centralized structure to combat spam, to coordinate against spammers or other malicious actors, this is a new and defining era now that these networks enter in, because in the past many of these approaches of running networks without this advertising business model, they failed also because moderation got too like so the basically as soon as the relevance of the network increases, as soon as people were really spending their attention looking at Mastodon feeds, inevitably we will have a lot of effort being put into spamming the network, either commercial or political. What is also happening at the same time is that there are emerging now regional Mastodon-based communities. So some cities or communities that have a regional character get together and set up their own social microblogging sphere there. Interesting about it is that these, if you look at the number, for example, München, there is an instance now in München which is supposed to be used by people living there, I guess. And right now there are not too many people directly having an account on that instance, but since since everything is federated, the whole network can be reached via München. So if you're a citizen of München, you're invited to get yourself an account up there, and if you then someone finds you interesting that is living on a completely different instance that has nothing to do with München, there is still seamless communication, like you would be on one global Twitter sphere. What makes this all possible, as I said, is a very new but also very straightforward and simple protocol, which is called ActivityPub. That's the one I want to focus in the rest of the talk. It's in some sense, I could go now into the technical details, but I want to keep it more abstract. I would say, if you understand a little bit how email works, how the system of delivering to the inbox of other people, how this structurally works, then you have understood half of ActivityPub, because one half of it is more or less this. The other half is a system which is more or less aiming to solve public communication problems. So, if you don't have something that you want to address to a very limited set of people, but you want to express towards the world, like social microblogging is meant to be, then ActivityPub contains the most generic functions to allow you to do exactly this, while being in a federated network without any centralized point of coordination, moderation. And interestingly, this now attracts so many developers that the first conference on it was held last month. It was totally overbooked, like I was lucky enough to get in. To me, it's interesting because I never seen anything like it before, and I've been in the business of decentralizing or re-decentralization quite a long time, 15 years or something. And this is something where so many interesting vectors are now pointing towards the same thing. There is so much political pressure. There's so much lessons learned from the past. For example, if you think about how the future debate will look like in terms of how we gonna solve global crises like the climate crisis, there is so much at stake right now, and so many things that we, so many errors that were made in the past have been learned from. I think that this is now not wishful thinking. This is now leading somewhere. One of the important persons behind ActivityPub should be mentioned here. It's this guy. It's Chris Lemmer Weber. He is a great community manager, and he has written a He has authored the standard in a way so that it's really easy to adopt it by developers who may not be. So it's easy to adopt this thing. It's not many pages, very generic. And if you want to know more about it, I seriously recommend checking out a podcast of him and a colleague, LibreLaunch. It's extremely informative, and they do their best and in explaining all the intricacies of ActivityPub there. I want to maybe I skip this. I just wanted to say Mastodon is not the only part that is significant in the Fediverse. There is lots of other things plopping up. There is Pleroma, which is trying to do more or less the same. So on the UI level, it looks similar, but it's written in a different language, different framework. So there's a nice cooperation between two independent code bases, which is also always nice to have in order to have if one development team for some reasons decides on something that is not a good idea, then we have some diversity here, which creates other problems, of course, because they still have to agree to use the same protocol in its details. So if they diverge from the ActivityPub definition, then there will be misunderstandings. There will be the network doesn't fulfill its promise anymore, and it's already a little bit visible that in terms of which server is running the latest code of the Mastodon code base, the latest version of the Mastodon code, there is already some kind of divergence happening, and this is probably the main challenge in the few months ahead. If we can make it work so that the whole Mastodon network right now it's 2,600 instances that are connected to each other. If they manage to stay synchronized in a sense, if they manage to stay on the same code base, because if they diverge, then the whole network suffers. So people are not able to communicate across instances as seamlessly as they should anymore. Maybe I skip this. As I said, I was at the conference, and the current focus is how do we cope with the problem of spam and harassment and malicious, like injecting false information. This is exemplified by a paper which I can recommend, but it's... there are several. It says proposed suggestions, and then you see all the things that we tried in the past. But it's not yet clear if we know that we need a diverse approach, that we need to combine things from the past, like blacklisting, like content-based things. But it's not clear what will be the silver bullet for this problem. So in other words, we didn't really find something new yet how to cope with this problem that always creeps up at a certain point in the development of a network. And there is also something that is worrisome, because if you know, for example, Signal, the alternative messenger, the main idea behind Signal is that it's not federating also, because they know that if in a federated system there's always this divergence issue creeping up when the servers are running different software. And for example, here the main guy behind Signal said no, he's not trying to push signals towards federation because of this problem, but we don't have this option here, because in Signal you don't have to moderate, but in a social network you have to moderate. It's imperative. If there is no moderation, history showed us that things are falling apart because of a small amount of malicious actors ruining the experience of everybody. Right now, there's a lot of blocking going on because these things are evolving. So server instances are being blocked because there is no moderation or a moderation of a very awkward kind going on there. So it's more or less what we have here is a very also a political, very highly politically structured evolution. So that led, for example, to some early constitutions of Mastodon server clusters. So groups of Mastodon servers. It's now happening that in this whole culture there are groups getting together and defining what should be the common goal of moderation in terms of joinmastodon.org, which is the most popular way to get into the Mastodon network, is to get to go to this domain, and then you're invited to select from one of the instances, and they only show you instances where the server admins of these individual instances are making sure that there is moderation in that sense, that there is no anti-Semitism, transphobia, all these fundamental stuff which also means that if the server moderation fails, then the blocking, so it's probably leading up to the server instance being blocked from the rest of the group. So this is these blocking wars and these people trying to get other servers to block. So there's a whole very violent blocking dynamic already, and this is a real problem for the network, which if we manage to cope with it, then I think we have the first instance, to my knowledge, that this is we have figured out a new way to run systems collaboratively. One other thing that also happened just a few days ago is that the Mastodon stack now contains a feature where you can move easily from one instance to the other, which means that if the current instance you're on, it's in some way technically not appropriately managed or there is no moderation there, it's almost seamless to move to another instances, to another server which allows you to move there, so which has an open registration. So since 3 weeks, you can now move seamlessly from one server to the other, which is also, I think, one of the key issues that we always had with federated systems in the past. So before this feature was activated, which is just 3 weeks ago, you had to pick an instance and you were more or less stuck there unless you are okay to lose all the connections when you go to another instance and make it your new home. So as I said, I'm a little bit sleepy, so I don't know if it makes sense here. But what I want to stress is, since it's a federated system, and since our goal is that a lot of people who are currently locked up in non-federated silos should be able to live in these federated worlds. So we are not, right now we are having hundreds of millions of people locked in silos, exposed to algorithms, not being able to form their own opinion anymore. It's a really desperate time, I would say. And we need to be able to run a network which is really huge in terms of number of independent instances. Otherwise, the moderation cannot be, so we have to distribute the moderation load more equally over the people who run it. And yeah, this means that maybe No, I can skip this one. I mean, this is again the reason why we have these centralized failures. As many, it has been said here in, at this conference many times before, are these network effects. So it matters to us how many people we can reach with a certain within a certain platform. Right now, there's a chicken and egg problem. Why should you, for example, if you go to this guy here? So this is a U.S. presidential candidate, and he has exactly 13 followers on this mass. So right now, visibility is zero here. Changing this is only possible if it reaches a certain size in amount of in the terms of how many people are in principle having an account on one Fediverse instance. So we need to drastically get to a much, much higher number. Right now it's, we have 3.5 million registered users on the Mastodon part of the Fediverse. So compared to Twitter, that's really a small number. Luckily, some of the problems which I previously mentioned, which is mostly the blocking wars. Right now, at the conference, there was also a nice joining event, which was that the community understood that new ways of trust relationships have to be established between the server admins themselves in order to combat spam and malicious behavior. And for that, also luckily, just a very few months ago, gonna change to. So this was actually like the session on how we're gonna integrate new ways to have trusted relationships between the server admins. And there is a rather recent standard which is called decentralized identity, which perfectly makes sense to play a role in that context, because it's a standardized way to work with public private keys, so with asymmetric cryptography, to establish public key infrastructure. So DID, decentralized ID, is also a very new development, also born out of the frustration with centralized platforms. So there's, from all kinds of directions, things are heading into the same, towards the same thing, which is a new quality in terms of how federated structure, what federated structures can do in the online space. Maybe I skip that one because I'm out of time. So, in order to make my point a little bit better here, for example, right now there is no method in Mastodon available. When you look up a name, how can you distinguish? How there is no way to say, okay, this looks more credible than the other. For example, if you look like said example here, if you enter Donald Trump as search string and try to find an actor that has that name, then you find a couple, and none of them can prove something about themselves because the system does not have this functionality. There is no blue check mark that a centralized system like Twitter can give you. So these pictograms are fake. You know? And with the DID technology I mentioned before, exactly this is possible. We can expect that in the future, it's possible to have directly cryptographically verifiable information about which person works for which organization or stuff like that. So, for example, if something from a broadcasting station sets up an account which represents the broadcasting channel, like ORF or something like that, there is a non-centralized way to prove that this is really a credible source and not just a false information source. Sorry, I'm a little bit rambling today, but I think that it's as I said, there are so many things. The puzzle is so many pieces of the puzzle on the table. The service we are replicating is so is the simplest one we know. It's not a very complex one like Facebook would be much harder to replicate. But Twitter as a public API is it's the prototypical public information network that we know. It has its problems, but when you look at the details, you see that practically all the problems are because of the internal governance structure, is how they call it. Yeah, who decides on what is okay to say, what is not okay to say, in which region, in which cultural context. So Mastodon is the first, to my knowledge, the first one that has a real potential chance to gain at least the same popularity of Twitter in a short term, because right now everything's going extremely fast downhill in the surveillance capitalism domains. If you look at the interviews and what people say in front of Congress and stuff like that. Yeah. So I think we have a good chance that in a few years from now we won't communicate about important things that matter to us all in systems that are 100% funded by presenting advertisement. So this is, I think, in a few years we will look back to this moment and we'll say, okay, that was just medieval times. That is, why do we have political debates in a shopping mall? That doesn't make sense. And the technical basis is on the table. And I think there are many, many, and increasingly number of people accepting this challenge and diverting lots of their effort towards successful Mastodon Fediverse. Okay, yeah. Maybe one thing at the last one, I'm a huge fan of Aaron Swartz, his work, and he said once that because we are living in these connected worlds, in these hyper-connected societies where it's definitely easier to connect than to censor, I would say, technically. So you have to spend insane amounts of effort to effectively limit communication, because everything is Moore's law, it's getting really hard to suppress information, and that turns an argument that was previously called free speech into something which is who gets attention, who is heard. It's not about anymore who is able to express something. It's about who is heard, and networks like Twitter are now, to my understanding, the best. They fit this paradigm very much. It's the decision of the receiving person who shall get their attention. So, and with the Mastodon network, we have a very nice alternative to this one, which is not polarizing society. So, thanks to NetID, I should say also, because they are supporting us free in this little endeavor to also push in that direction. Other than that, thank you for listening, and please, questions would be very nice.
Thank you very much. It was a great talk. Are there any questions? Gibt es Fragen, bitte?
I joined Mastodon about a little bit more than a year ago,
from Twitter after using Twitter for about 12 years. And I lost from one day to another about 95% of my really close network, which was really hard for me. And I've tried to get it back. I'm still trying to get it back. I really like Mastodon. I still use it. I don't use Twitter that much anymore. And any tips on how to increase the number of people who to join Mastodon who or switch from Twitter from your side?
I would say it depends a little bit on the which age group we are talking about and what is the background of those people that you want to convince. Because in some cases it helps very much to bring the political argument. In some cases it helps to show them the user interface and how shiny and already mature it is. My argument is that it's inevitable that we do something different in the future. So join the movement. Yeah? That's what I would say. And the potential that is, we don't see the potential yet, because this system also in terms of which kind of innovations it will bring to light, it's totally different than what an advertisement-based network does.
You have me convinced, so yeah. I hope I can convince some others as well. My main arguments were so far, first of all, it feels like Twitter 2008, which was a really nice time to join Twitter. And the other thing is there are fewer Nazis there, so it helps too.
Another question.
One argument might be that it's more of a safer space for minority groups in the way it's the moderation works and the exposure works in that regard. One that I find very convincing, it's not just Twitter. With PixelFed, you also have Instagram. With PeerTube, you sort of have YouTube, and there's always popping up new systems, and you just need one account to be connected with all these kind of services, networks that pop up and offer different possibilities because of the underlay and because of how ActivityPub works and powers all these services.
Yeah, totally right. Sorry, I admitted all the other things and focused on Mastodon here, but that is also a very interesting, never heard before feature.
Are there any other questions? Okay, so thanks again. Give him a great hand.